PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, golfers. It is time once again to go off course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me tonight for the second time is Michael Verska. You might know him as the friendly, I'm going to call you a likeaholic on Twitter, at VGolfman. Also, large part of the success over there on the, let's call it the freight train that is Callaway Golf in 2021, this incredible new product that's coming out. Michael, I am so excited to have you back on. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm happy and pleasantly surprised you're willing to have me on again. So this is a win. Hopefully, sounds like it's a win for you. It's definitely a win for me, and maybe even some of the people watching and listening will be a win. That.
So I have to. There's an elephant in the backyard right now, and I say backyard because if I remember correctly, the last time you were on, you were house hunting. And it's been a while, and it looks to me like the only thing that's changed is maybe those trees in the backyard have gotten a little taller. What's going on?
Yeah, so California housing market and COVID are not a good marriage if you want to buy a house. They are a literally a match made in heaven if you're selling a house. Houses, I mean, it's a crazy market. There's very little inventory. Houses sell in, I was just talking to somebody today who's also been in a house search, and you know, it's about 72 hours. Pretty much every house in 72 hours goes from for sale to pending. And almost everything goes well over asking. And if you know anything about the California market, the asking prices are quite steep in every case. So it's just been a struggle. It's a mixed blessing. We have this rental house. It's literally four blocks from the ocean. So you guys who follow me on Twitter, especially on Fridays, I go down there and, you know, sometime post a sunset and, you know, so I mean, we're in a great location, but, yeah, the house hunt is, you know, we're past the point of tears and now it's funny again, right? It's because like, oh, we get a house. And then it was really sad and depressing. And now we're right back there. This is, it's just hilarious. You know, we bid, I don't want to go into too much detail, but we bid about 60,000 over one house, and end up losing. We didn't know this until later, but we lost it by $4,000. So it looks like 65 was the right number to go over asking. We just missed that. We missed another one by 5,000. It's, we've missed a couple others. It's a very tough market. We've tried really hard and have failed really successfully at buying a house.
Wow. That is incredibly honest. This is what we came for today. Well, you know, you said sunset, and the last time I saw you post something like that, it was more like a windset. You were on the ocean, and was that your wife? It looked like if she had wings, she'd be flying.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're used to Chicago thunderstorms and Chicago snowstorms, right? And, you know, that we joke about here is that sometimes it goes all the way down to 68 and sometimes it goes up to 72, but usually, you know, we're okay in the middle there. But yeah, this was earlier this week. We had a really bad, the worst rainstorm. Again, we've only been here 15 months, but the worst rainstorm we've seen in those 15 months, and really crazy winds, the worst wind we've seen. And so I finished up work at, 5:15, 5:30, and we were kind of talking like, boy, wouldn't it be cool to go down to the ocean? And we kind of, you know, we met eyes and go, we actually have that power. And it just jumped in my car, drove down there, which is a 3-minute drive. We got out, we filmed for 60 seconds, got back in the car and drove 33 minutes home. I mean, literally we weren't gone 10 minutes, but it was powerful. And I don't even think the video does it justice. I mean, the waves and the power of the ocean is awe inspiring and really cool. You know, I'm a bit of a nature nerd in that regard. I love, you know, the God's creation and being a part of it, but that wind was really, my wife and I we just thought it was so cool. So
yeah, you can have all the white God's creation that's fallen on me here today in Ohio if you want it. That is that's not something I'm willing to keep for all much longer, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I miss Chicago radio stations. I really miss Chicago food. I miss my friends there. I miss my golf course there. Never once, even for a split second, have I missed winter or snow. Not even for a second. So,
there's a good bit of wind up in Chicago, and I know you've seen a bunch of different places throughout your lifetime. When I saw the wind there, the first thing I thought of, and I actually posted it to you on Twitter, I said, that looks like a good day for sim golf. And I say that because I'm not apologetic to wind. I loathe it when it comes to playing golf. I'm a high ball, somewhat high spin guy. So you have every idea of understanding what that means for my game. How do you fare in windy conditions?
So I've always said, I like, if you can get like a 5 to 10 mile an hour breeze, to me, I think that's the best way to play golf. And partly this is going to say probably something negative about me, but I tend to focus more, right? Now you're like, oh, I'm going to try to hit it at that bunker and the wind's going to blow it back. And, you know, I actually think shots out when it's just calm. You know, I sometimes get up there and just kind of aim to the middle of the green and, you know, swing away. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, right? I'm not a professional. I'm out there just having fun. But, you know, there's sometimes I feel like I've played 5 or 6 holes. I don't even know what just happened, right? Like we're on 7. What am I, 10 over or 2 under? I don't know what just happened. But, you know, you get that little bit of wind, and I enjoyed it. Just whatever, that tends to get me to focus better. So a little bit of wind is great. Big humble brag coming here. I've only been able to go to Bandon once, and it was an incredible experience. However, all 4 days, the wind was not too dissimilar to what I posted on the ocean the other day. In fact, even the caddy said, it was one of the worst winds he's seen for 4 consecutive days. If somebody was just coming, my timing just happened to be that bad. And that did great on you. I mean, because you're at Bandon, you get this great experience, and, you know, you're hitting 5 iron. You know, you got 110 in, and you're hitting 5 iron. you know, you can't get to some of the par 4s, let alone, you know, even some of the par 5s were trouble to get to in 3 if they were dead into the wind. You know, it's tough when it's blowing 40 to 50 to aim far enough left or right is the, you know, entrusted as this. So yeah, in severe winds. And again, I humble brag, I got to go to Bandon. That's a great blessing. But, you know, again, a little wind's good. A lot of wind, is not so much.
I'll tell you what, that is a bucket list for me to get out there, especially with some of the boys, and just experience that the way that people talk about it. But that has always been sort of the kicker for me, is that I would probably, and you're obviously not all that familiar with this, you can't really get hammered drinking Coke Zero, but for me, I would have to have a lot of fireball to be happy playing in that kind of wind, I'll be honest with you. So that's a big commit for a guy like me.
Yeah, the fourth day, I'd like to think I'm a halfway decent person. I try to have a decent attitude, but by day 4, because we teed off and the wind was actually really down. It was great. And I think we got down on the 3rd or 4th hole and it picked up again. And literally by the 5th hole, it was just sideways. I mean, literally the flag stick is at a 45 degree angle all day. And I will say that the 4th round, I mentally was not probably in the right place and was ready for some other weather. But Bandon, it's an incredible place. Anyone who hasn't done it, it is a reasonably priced bucket list. I've been able to play some of the other world's great courses, and, you know, some of them are, you know, $500, $600, $700 a round, and that's tough to swallow. But Bandon, I think for the dollar value, again, not cheap, obviously, but it is amazing and tough to beat, and just an amazing place. The food, it's just kind of homey and down to earth. The golf is truly world class, obviously. I mean, all 4 courses are in the top 100. If you can do it, you got to do it.
You mentioned reasonable, and as you also mentioned, there's a lot of courses that aren't. Would you say there's a course anywhere in California that is reputable, that is a what you'd consider good value for the experience,
other than Goat Hill?
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know that much about California golf other than Monterey Peninsula, which I've been very blessed to go numerous times, and there's nothing reasonable there, including a sandwich, you know, $8 Coke Zeros. But, you know, around Southern California, you know, most of their good golf courses are private, obviously Torrey, but I mean, I think my cost for Torrey is almost $300 because I'm not a San Diego resident. You know, and is that worth it? Absolutely. I mean, Torrey is an amazing place. I've been able to play it just a couple times. But again, I'm, you know, I make a nice living. I'm happy with my job. There's no complaints there, but you know, I'm not spending $300 every Saturday to go play. That's a good way to go bankrupt and lose a wife, either one of which I'd like to do. So, but yeah, I mean, honestly, it's pretty pricey out here. But again, Goat Hill Park is amazing. It's so much fun. You know, they're really doing some nice upgrades over there. They kind of redid, I think it's 12 or 13. They just redid that a few months ago. They're putting some work in there. And I'm sure there's other ones. I just, again, I know Monterey, and I know immediately around my area. So I'm sure there's lots of other places. It's just California's a big place that I'm not that familiar with yet.
Chasing a pretty loaded question. I don't know either, because I don't spend enough time out there. I have a follow-up to that, and it's kind of a little bit different. You guys have an unbelievable facility out there, ECPC. What kind of hours you put in that area?
So we were shut down for a while. We're back open now, and we've got a full team that works there. So, before COVID, I was over there basically one day a week. And then post COVID, I've been over there. I mean, it's 10 months now, right? I mean, we're looking at 10 months March to now. I would guess I've been at the ECPC, 15 to 20 times in 10 months, really only when we need to. I mean, we've been shut down a lot. I work from home only when we only go in the office when we need to go in the office. So again, I guess I've been in 10 months back to the ECPC, just again, 15 or 20 times is my guess, for some film shooting, some fitting stuff, some training we did, some things like that. But ECPC is a golf. It's golf Disneyland. I mean, it is as special as it can get. And the few people, you got the THP logo up in the corner there. Those who have got to do Granddaddy and some other things will know just what kind of Candyland that is. It is a truly world-class facility that we fit the best players in the world, and down to 30 handicaps if they're lucky enough to know the right people or be part of the right event. So. Yeah, ECPC is special.
So you mentioned fitting players, and obviously this is a great time for it. You guys, and by you guys, I mean Callaway, have had some unbelievable releases. I can't really put it any better. Leading in with Epic, you've got Apex. I mean, these are lines that have history in both name and success, which is really cool. And I think both are in their third iteration at this point. I want to put you on the spot, and I know it's not fair, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you say all three, that's fine. Or every one. Is there one product this year that you saw from Callaway that has been brought out that you think, well, I'll ask two questions. Is there one that you think will impact your game the most? And to follow up with that, is there one that you think will impact the most golfers bag the most?
I think, obviously just the jailbreak, the new updated jailbreak technology and the drivers is pretty amazing. And I will say the one that I think will both affect and improve my game the most is the Max LS driver. I've never been a great driver of the golf ball. The Max LS is just as forgiving as it is, and yet still have, cause most forgiving drivers have some left bias in it, and that's the last thing I need. So to have a driver as forgiving, as neutral, from a left-right bias, but still have the ability to dial in with the cogs and the AW adjustable weight port in the back, being a lower spin model, and the Max LS is it wasn't designed for me, but it was designed for everybody just like me out there who, swings hard, swings reasonably fast. Occasionally hits the center of the face, but only occasionally. The Max LS driver has been huge. And I just saw some prelim sales numbers and fitting numbers this morning. And the Max driver is killing it as well. So lots of people out there who need that, something as forgiving with, ball speed all over the face like the Max does. But for me, that Max LS is just it is a big deal. Now Apex Pro Irons. I'm playing mostly Apex Pro Irons, still kind of playing around with what the 4 and 5 iron might look like, but certainly the mid and short irons are all gonna be Apex Pro. And I mean, from a look, sound and feel perspective, And again, that, you know, this is including a lot of stuff I've been fortunate enough to either design or be part of the design team. I mean, it is amazing, the technology, the amount of tungsten in there, as forgiving as it is, but it's not, you know, it's not a game improvement club, but still be workable. I mean, the Apex Pro irons are, they're pretty darn special. So I know that's kind of a cop out giving you two, but I'm giving you two.
No, I gave you the out to do. I said you could pretty much say every product in the lineup and I'd support you. You know, I hit Apex Pro last week. And what my favorite thing about this is neither of us are new to the idea of seeing new product. And it's always fun to hear a story that just kind of blows you away. And that, I mean, obviously there's an awful lot that's gone into these. I love the variable weighting in the Apex lineup going from wedge to four iron. I mean, that's super cool. One thing that blew me away is when I saw Apex Pro, I just thought it was a traditional, almost MB. And for them to come out and say, no, seriously, this thing's hollow. It's really fun as a golfer to sit back and say, I don't believe you. Because it's just such, and I got a chance to hit it last week. And while it might not be the one that I pick for the year, I am baffled that kind of technology at this point from a golfer's perspective can get put into a package that's that small. That's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to equipment. I when I came in the game, I mean, I was, you know, cavity back irons were, you know, they existed, but blades were still the majority out there. And I mean, my first few drivers were persimmon. I mean, I'm not, you know, that was a, you know, 12, 13, but so I've still got this kind of old school bit about me, but I mean, I have zero business playing an Apex MB. I mean, absolutely zero business playing an MB iron, and I don't, right? But I still love the look of them, and you know, to go down and see that compact head and a little bit less offset, and even the closed back, you know, or I guess say no back would be the right way to put it. In MB, right. You know, to go to the Apex Pro. And having a look that's not dissimilar at all. In fact, it's quite similar, you know, from a sole width perspective, but then you hit it and realize that, you know, you're pretty much cheating with the technology involved, is perfect for a guy like me, right? I want to be good. I sometimes tell other people I'm good, but we all really know that I'm not. So that it's really perfect for somebody like me who has no business having a golf ego, especially, you know, with the knowledge I have and being in the industry, but I still like to look down at a little golf club. And so now I've got a little golf club that really provides a ton of technology.
So the one I went with, and I'm going to put a picture up here, and I don't know what it is about these darn irons, Michael. I'm going with the X-Forge CB this year. It's pretty much a lock. I committed to James last week on the podcast, and I'd hate to lie to him. These things are special, and I would love to talk about them more, but I think the bigger story here is to once again go back to Apex. and I don't want to do too much on DCB. We had a lot of good conversations with D-Nevs and the group over there last week. But from your perspective, being how involved you are in the fitting process, how incredibly beneficial is it for golfers to be able to go to their fitting locations and recognize the Apex lineup, but hit a club that is more forgiving, a little bit more offset, a little bit less of that player-y profile, and supporting that, hey, I want a good looking iron. I want one that has that profile of a player's iron, but I don't want to go all the way off to, and not to say they're bad irons, but that next level of forgiveness, if you know what I mean, that SGI profile.
Yeah, for sure. And I you know, it's interesting about golf clubs, right? I mean, I was just in a conversation earlier today talking about some fitting stuff, and I haven't heard this term in a while, but you know, they called it male jewelry. They've called the golf clubs male jewelry, which, you know, and I've said that term 1,000 times, but it's literally just been a while, right? So my mind snapped back, and I was actually thinking about the Apex line, and, you know, we were talking about it, and because we do have preferences, right? I mean, again, I look at the Apex MB, and that's what I like to look at, but I'm not good enough to play that. So you know, that when that dichotomy comes in our game saying, I know I need X amount of technology. I know I need X amount of forgiveness. I know I need X amount of help. But sometimes our brain says, well, I don't want it to look like I need that much help. I don't want to maybe tell my buddies or my playing partners or even myself that, you know, I need that much help. So the one amazing thing about Apex is, you know, they're forged golf clubs, and from a sound and feel perspective, for those who care about it, it's world class. Period. Full stop. You can't get things that feel and sound better, which is awesome. But then you can get, you know, again, just enough help depending on which, you know, bucket you go into. And X-Forge CB is very little help, more than MB, but not a lot. But when you get into, you know, the Apex Pro and the, you know, Apex 21 and then, you know, the DCB, you know, there's plenty of technology there, but they're golf clubs that, again, from a feel, sound, size, shaping perspective, that everybody or virtually everybody would be happy to have in their bag. And it's a great combination. Kudos to the R&D team, Dave Neville, and not that he's an R&D, but, you know, just him kind of, you know, managing those projects. And it really is a great full team effort to produce them. And, you know, I'm obviously a tiny cog in that. I mean, not in the R&D group anymore, but aware as these things literally go from white sheets of paper, you know, being in meetings and discussions to seeing the end product, it really is, it is an amazing way for people to go in and get fit the Apex line, not only for what they need from a technology standpoint, but I really feel, you know, to get something that male jewelry, they're going to be really proud to have in their bag.
That's probably why people get so upset by iron covers, eh? Because they just don't, they don't want to hide the jewelry.
That's one reason. Yeah. They're weird, but other than that.
Yeah, there it is. So you guys did something that's really interesting this year. And while I think the Apex have done a great job in sort of hiding that blended profile, you guys have all these, or Callaway has all these options for blended sets. And I've never been hugely partial to them, but I know there's a ton of golfers out there who love them. And I'm calling them the internet blends. You guys call them much more classy things like triple play and things like that. How popular do you think that's going to be this year?
So, again, going back, we saw some sales data today, surprisingly popular, even for people like me who thought they were going to be popular. I mean, it's only a week of pre-sale. And this hopefully isn't patting myself on the back too hard, but, you know, this was really a collaboration between me and R&D. We had a meeting, we were talking about the mix set, and we were talking about, you know, hey, what other, you know, how other else we might want to, you know, put these some sets together. You know, we talked to some fitters, and R&D got really excited about it. And that got me even more excited about it. You know, then we started doing the research. We talked to some of the best fitters in the country and got their input. We went back to on data that we've had on sales and how people have put different sets together and popular combinations. And again, then went back to R&D, said, hey, here's what we're thinking. How does this fit from a spec standpoint? How does this fit from a technology standpoint, from, you know, our AI flash face and what we need to do there? So, you know, it was really, and even I talked to our tour reps, and, you know, not that our tour players would put these in, but just kind of, you know, even talking to tour players where their breaks are in the set. So we, you know, really tried to get as much of the best input we could, and came up with, again, the four sets, sweet spot, triple play, mixed, and player. And, again, the three base Apex sets are amazing. But, you know, these other kind of four complementary sets, you know, we just think we'll continue to open it up and let people really personalize their game. So I'm super excited about it. Again, I literally saw prelim sales numbers this morning, and everybody was very pleasantly surprised on this. And it, we think it's going to be a big hit. We think we've got the right mix. We think we've got just enough to, you know, have a good offering without offering, you know, every combination on earth. Because there has been a little pushback. What about this? And what if I want this stuff? You know, we're never going to make everybody happy. But the good news is, anybody can order anything they want, right? I mean, if they want to go reverse, if they want a blade 3-iron and a DCB wedge, right? We would never do that, but have at it, right? But yeah, the sets we put together, the sweet spot, triple play, mixed, and player, we are excited about, and at least early on, consumers are excited about it.
Yeah, the one last thing I wanted to say about Apex is I'm incredibly impressed by our friends over at True Temper and Project X for the Elevate profiles. having hit them in the THP Tech studio last week, seeing the difference between 85, 95 and the 115 and how they pretty much stood up the whole way. That was really cool. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, Michael. I'm particularly fond of the IO, and maybe that's why I lean so hard on XForge CB, but I think it's a really pleasant combination with Apex. I mean, Elevate's going to perform. We've got, I believe, Dart from Recoil as the graphite option, which is pretty cool. Do you have a preferred shaft you're going to go with in your pros this year?
So mine were actually delivered on Friday. So mine are already here. I have not got a chance to hit them yet. I've hit them. I just haven't hit my set that was delivered. Maybe that's the right way to say it. So they're still in the box. I haven't even put them in my golf bag yet. But I've hit all the Apex Pros. I'm really kind of debating on the 4-iron, quite frankly, and maybe 5. I have not had a chance to do enough fitting and testing of myself, but definitely 6 through and most likely 5 through will be. I'm actually going old school. I'm going back to the original Recoils just because I can get something heavy enough for me. So I played those for a long time. I happened to have a meeting with UST before those even come out, and they had just had them and got a cell built up. So I've been playing Recoils for a long time. I had a different graphite shaft, the KBS Tour 100s. I played for the last 15 months and really, really liked them. But going to the Apex Pro, this new Apex Pro, just wanted something that launched just a little bit higher. And the old Recoils do that just for me just a little bit. So
we'll have to get Danny Lee over there on the show and pick on him a bit as to why old tech's sticking around in your bag. So that'll be pretty.
We talk about, the ECPC and stuff, partly just I haven't gone over there and really be able to hit all the new stuff. We've got the MMT as a stock graphite shaft in the Apex line. It's really good. It's really stout. We've had a lot of good success with that. The new Dart shaft is mm-hmm. really good. Just couldn't get something quite heavy enough for my preference there. I'm a little embarrassed to say I went old school, and I'm not saying they're going to be in, all of 2021, but I'm going to give them at least to the end of the summer.
I love it. Hey, I've been stuck on Tour Vs for a long time. So we're both looking for that big transition. That'll be fun to do. Yeah. You know, Michael, the one thing we haven't talked about, which I can't believe we haven't even discussed it yet, is you shouldn't be in a backyard in California right now. You should be in probably the pit based on everything in Florida at the PGA show. You've got a pretty solid run of back-to-back shows. Is it like 21 now?
Well, this year would have been 22. So I went 21 straight, and there is no PGA show this year except for virtually, which I'm really not participating in. We have an incredible crew at Callaway's doing it, but I'm not participating in it. So my streak very sadly officially ended. I know there's a bunch of people who like to say they don't like the PGA show. I have been on record and very publicly saying that I do. I think it's great for the industry. I think it's been a great blessing to me. And get to the people I get to meet, both from a work perspective, new accounts and new in club pros, and as well as old friends who I worked with at other companies or the media. Some people like Josh Babbitt and others who I consider dear friends, but usually I only get to see them once a year, and now it's not. So yeah, it's I've got 7:30, about 7:40. East Coast time. So yeah, I'd be probably sitting in a lobby waiting to get a steak or a good piece of fish. And then we would scarf that down as fast as we could, and then get to the pit and sit there and tell stories until they ran out of Coke Zeros.
It's probably sushi night there. Yeah.
I think it's always sushi night now since they put that in the lobby, but yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that is a weird thing. We had our big week last week. We talked about that a little bit over with James last week on the show, doing our THP showcase. Super fun. Had a great time with you guys. And then I got home, and like every week away, I got that sort of hard stop feeling. You ever get that when you come back from the show? Like, obviously it's business as usual and things are quite busy, maybe more so for you guys with the release seasons. But man, the speed at which you have to go down there and then the speed at which you get when you come back is just so different.
Yeah, it really is. The show's again, I know there's a lot of people like to malign it, and I certainly understand their logic. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it's an interesting, the ROI on it. And then, but the human ROI is incredible, right? The people mm-hmm. you meet, and it is nonstop. It is, I mean, most mornings I had breakfast at like 6:30 or 7. So, you know, you're up at 5:30. And then, like I said, you're literally going until, you know, 11:30 midnight, and then it starts all over again. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I'm always, sober, cause it's not drinking, but, you know, I know others are sometimes have a drink or two, and that, can affect them. But, you know, it's a great place for the industry to get together. Again, I think it has value for somebody like a Callaway, and, you know, again, for the industry. So hopefully it comes back. You know, you just never know when, you know, COVID's changed a lot of things, and, you know, we'll have to see. Some of our competitors down the street haven't participated in the PGA show in recent years. So we'll have to see what happens there, and even what Callaway does, right? I won't be making that decision personally. That'll come from a very high level. But, you know, we're participating in one of the presenting sponsors, or whatever the right term is, this week. And we've got a good contingent doing a lot of training and some other things. So we're still supporting, you know, PGA of America and Reed and the show. And again, hopefully that will continue.
Yeah, I love it. I love that it provides that sort of accessibility for people who might not normally get that one-on-one direct attention. I know I've got lots of friends here locally who are involved in course decision making, from even most basic thing like apparel and product acquisitions. It's a super cool concept. The one thing we did talk about on social, and I gave you a little grief for this, is you said normally it gives you a chance to buy some new apparel to go. And I said, hey, I call that Travis Matthew money. And yeah, I mean, I'm wearing a quarter zip right now. I got the hat on. You're rocking a hat. I love that. How good? Oh, you got the shirt on too. How good is their apparel right now? Like it, I got this, I think it's either stay over or stop over piece of outerwear, like a quarter zip. I think I'm going to wear holes in that thing. I love it so much.
Yeah. I don't know. I only know a few people over there. But whatever magic sauce they have, they've done an amazing job. I mean, the styling, you know, and that's interesting. You know, I know there's lots of other brands, but you know, you don't have to be East Coast. You don't have to be Country Club. You don't have to be West Coast. No matter what your style is, it seems like they've got several offerings that are perfect for you. It doesn't matter who you are. And for, again, somebody like me, who's, you know, kind of fit, but kind of not middle-aged guy. I mean, you know, the fit great, you know, there's plenty of options. And yeah, so Travis Matthew is a big deal. I didn't buy a sport coat or suit this year. This hat is actually my wife went online and paid for this hat. She picked it out. This is obviously sounds like a commercial, right? And obviously Callaway owns Travis Matthew. So yes, but I will say unequivocally, this is the best fitting golf hat I've had in my entire life. This kind of fitted flex fit hat. So
you went the fitted. I always get the buttons.
Yeah, it's become my go-to hat. And just from Christmas, I didn't even pick it out. This is my wife going online and going, I think he'd like that. And she nailed it. I got another quarter zip. I know people are going to find that shocking, but I did. Yeah. So yeah, Travis Matthews is an incredible job. I got to go to one of their stores for the only day that California was open. And even the stores are amazing. The glass ping pong tables and other stuff. They really, really do a nice job. But again, I know it sounds like a commercial and people can argue that it would be, but I have very little affiliation with them other than a sister brand, but they do a great job.
In your defense, I started it. And it's only because I keep looking at Travis Matthew apparel in this, you know, video discussion we're having. And I realized, and actually this is the first year I went to a local shop, Golf Galaxy, went down the rack and ended up with three brand new Travis Matthew hats. And I never spend about $100 on anything at one time. So it was a big deal.
I just realized something, and I don't know if it's going to come through on here, if anybody can see this, but this is actually an Ivanhoe quarter zip. So I purchased this with my own money when I was an employee, which I just realized. This is one back when I lived in Illinois at my club there. So
wow.
So this has just became less of a commercial than it was before.
A sign of things to come before you knew it was coming.
I had no idea at that time. I assure you of that. Sitting here now, it still fits great. Still love it.
So hey, I was on. Shocking. I was on Twitter once again the other day. Yeah, I like that place. It's kind of weird, especially with all the muted features I've got. We're not going to go into that. So I saw there's obviously some great content, some good stuff from the Euro Tour coming out, cracking me up. But one of the things I saw, which kind of blew me away, was a new commercial with Phil. Have you seen that one yet when he's in his undies?
With the kind of what was that Tom Cruise movie?
Risky Business.
Risky Business. I have seen that when he comes sliding out in his underwear.
So this is a side of Phil that maybe some people had seen up until a couple years ago, and it seems like he's got this sort of I don't really care attitude that I am becoming infatuated with. I love it. I love the perspective he's got, the big giant glasses, the hey, if you don't like it, I don't really care, I've made my point in golf and I'm just gonna have fun now. Is that the way you're perceiving a lot of this? You love kind of the progression he's taken?
So I have no insight. I don't know Phil. I know obviously he's in Callaway staff. I've met him at the ECPC on two occasions, but I mean I don't know him other than, you know, five minute conversations. So this is just totally my own take on it. I think it is so amazing. Here's someone who's been incredibly successful in life, yet has dealt with some terrible medical issues for himself, you know, with his wife over the years, who's clearly comfortable in his own skin, right? I mean, and somebody who's had an unbelievably great career, you know, but and still would have some people would say he's underachieved in some ways. But so, I mean, being someone who's younger than him, but, you know, in the golf industry, I think it's great. I think it's somebody that, you know, I don't want to say look up to, but kind of look up to. I mean, how shouldn't more of us take ourselves a little less seriously? Shouldn't more of us be comfortable, you know, doing our own thing, even if some other people may snicker or laugh or think they're wrong to do it? So I absolutely love it. I think Phil is funny. You know, his fireside chats are almost always spot on and hilarious. He's clearly a good storyteller. So, I mean, this is totally my own personal. This is not me speaking for others or my company by any means. But, yeah, I think it's great. And I really do think it's an inspiration that other people could look at and go, I'm going to be me. And it's okay to be me, whatever that is. And I think it's great. I really do think it's a wonderful thing. You know, he's a great family man, you know, great golfer. You know, he's done a lot for charities over the years. So again, it's just somebody who's clearly, or I shouldn't say clear, seems to be very comfortable in his own skin. And I, for one, salute it and love it.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I was not a huge Phil fan probably a decade ago. It wasn't, I don't know what it was, maybe that I felt like it was a little bit contrived and it didn't look realistic the way he did, like the thumbs up and stuff. But as it turns out, it, and the more we get to see this side of him, I feel like I was just wrong, and I'm happy to own that. And I love the projection that he's gone from a more socialized perspective or a more social visual perspective. It gives a chance for a guy like me to sit back and say, you know what? I didn't read that right. And my question, sort of follow-up question, since you've watched more golf than I have, just assuming, no offense, but does you think this sort of attitude, do you think this sort of attitude that he's taking right now is paving the way for more professional golfers to not take themselves so seriously in interviews, in commercials, on social, all these different areas outside of the golf course?
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, it's tough to, you know, for everyone maybe outside of Tiger Woods, right? I mean, you can maybe take him out, but everyone else should be looking at Phil as you know, that's where they want to get to from a golf career standpoint, right? From a wins and majors and career earnings. And, you know, so, you know, his career is almost unparalleled. And, you know, now what he's doing is as a businessman, as you know, a father, you can kind of see that come through, and just as a personality. So, yeah, I think there's lots of others who, you know, this will inspire and make it okay. I mean, somebody like Tyrrell Hatton and other ones have, you know, have some of that same stuff. And you know, hopefully they kind of feed on each other, because I've been very blessed to work with a number of tour players over the years. A few of them I would consider friends, and, you know, they're almost all really, really good people. And so few of them, you know, they put this curtain up, right? And they don't want to say the wrong thing and they don't want to do the wrong thing. And again, you know, not that Phil would ever do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing, but he's made it okay just to be you and to say it and come through. And so, yeah, I do hope that others, you know, look at him and not to tie it back to fitting, right? But even, you know, look at Phil's career, you know, playing two drivers and Frankenwood and not playing any drivers, right? All these opportunities for people to second guess him, but being comfortable and confident in his game and what he's doing, you know, there's a parallel there right now. You know, I'm not saying he's playing a Frankenwood by dancing around his underwear, but you know, there's some similarities there from a comfort and knowledge and who you are and what you believe in. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of things that a lot of people can learn from that.
I've got one final tour question for you, and it's something I've sort of followed along over the last week. Are you ready for it?
No, but go ahead.
And you can unpack this as much as you want, or you don't have to. I've been a really big fan of Tony Finau's for a while. I love the way he carries himself. Was super, super disappointed for him with what happened at the Masters, but kind of loved how he bounced back. There's a lot of feedback out there right now that, I mean, he's getting the Chick-fil-A comments. He's like closed on Sundays and can't get it done. And he's got a really impressive top 10 statistic in the last, let's call it 4 years.
Yep.
But can't seem to break through and win a second time. Do you think that because golf is so crazy competitive, do you think that guys like Tony get an unfair take from people because of that? Do you think there's something else going on there that it's fair that people are just putting him on blast?
So I it can be both. Let me explain why. I'm a huge Tony Finau fan. I've had a chance. He's of the same faith as I am. I've had a chance, a couple chance to talk to him. Don't know him well at all. I have had a chance to talk to him. Big fan of his, and he's somebody who has all the tools clearly, right? So, to do what he's done, you know, no one, you know, somebody like a Matt Kuchar, somebody like a Charles Howell III. You know, Davis Love for a lot of his career. You know, you look at guys who we revere now that they're kind of, you know, getting on in age a little bit, but, you know, probably didn't close as much as they needed to. But to be in the hunt day in and day out, week in and week out is an amazing feat. And Tony should be commended for that. You know, I think the reason that people like to get on his case, you know, at least on Twitter, you know, it's because, you know, he clearly has the promise to be more, right?
Mm-hmm.
He hits it a country mile as long as anybody out there. And, you know, he does a lot of things with a golf ball that you look at other players and they would struggle with. You know, I was looking at some of the stuff that I think Lou Stegner put out this week about, you know, Tony's fourth round. It's amazing how both good and consistent he has played and yet still hasn't closed. So, you know, and I think it's just too early in Tony's career to, you know, call it a bust or somebody who can't close. I think, you know, so I think some of that is unfair. But having said that, here's someone who's put himself in the public eye and, you know, at some point he's going to have to prove if he's somebody who collects checks or somebody who wins tournaments and wins majors, right? He's been on the cusp of both. But I do think it's unfair just because it's still early in his career. I don't feel like it's been enough. But again, any public figure who's out there and does what they do and, you know, relies on, you know, people buying tickets and people buying golf clubs during a living. I do think it is fair to criticize them in those ways. But for Tony, I just think it's a little early because, again, it's not like he shot 80, right? He's not going out there and shooting 8 over and getting blown away. And, you know, somebody in his group kind of did. And, you know, that who hadn't been there as much, right? That'll be a good learning experience for Max. But, you know, Tony just didn't hit a couple putts, you know. And literally by a quarter inch here and a half inch there is the difference. So, I do think it's a little unfair just because he's been so good in such a pretty condensed period of time. I think, you know, people sometimes forget his story of, you know, not going to college really and, you know, just kind of, you know, making money any way he could and sleeping in his car and trying to figure it out and, you know, going on big break and making it through there. So, you know, here's not a kid who, you know, grew up at a country club with the best fitting tools and the best golf clubs and then, you know, playing at one of the major universities who fly on private jets every weekend of their events, right? I mean, here's a guy who, you know, slept in a Toyota Corolla or whatever he was driving around Salt Lake and Arizona and wherever else to make a buck and literally just, you know, keep himself fed. So again, I think he's still in a learning curve and I think it's early, but there does come a time where it's going to be fair. I just don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, I looked at his stats last week and I said, man, they're really giving it to Tony. I wonder what he did out there. And I see that he was like made the turn at, I think, 2 or 3 under and finished at 4 under on the day. And it just so happened that two other guys went out there and shot -8 and -11 respectively. And it's like, that's just good golf, man. Like you can't get away from that. There's no trick to avoiding the other guy shooting a 59 or a 61 or, you know, whatever it is on a final day of a tournament, just having a day, you know, that just happens. Maybe it's just a little bit of bad luck and we've all been there. So
Cantley's a top 10 player in the world. And I don't know if I didn't quite hear where he said it at. It was to himself or his caddy or somebody else, but he said, that's literally the best I could play. So here's a top 10 player in the world who said is the best I can play. And, you know, some of the statistics back it up, how, you know, what the things he did out there. And guess what? He didn't win.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we need to look at just how amazing, you know, finishing anywhere near the top of a PGA Tour event and then doing it over and over and over again is pretty amazing. And, you know, then it literally is one putt here, one putt there. Now those matter over time, but again, it's fun to talk about and it's fun to, you know, shout from the cheap seats of Twitter or your backyard or wherever you're sitting right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm rooting for him. I'm glad you are too. Michael, it's been a great show today. I like to do this thing at the end of my shows, and I'm not sure if I started with you or not, but I love to ask them back. And if you have any questions for me, you're more than welcome to shoot them my way.
So I know we're short on time, but I feel like I just need to end with a fitting question. So okay. If you don't mind, what about the Project XIO makes you think that's the perfect chef for you?
Yeah, it's such a good question. Like I said, the only irons I've hit him in is the X-Forge CB. And I was giving D-Nev some grief last week about how there's just something special. There's like that 1+1=5 aspect of those iron heads that they just feel so dense on contact. And I don't know if the IO is just kind of gaining traction because of what it's paired with or whether there's something else going on. But I also hit the LS 6.5s and Apex Pro heads, which I mean, anyone who's hit Project X 6.5 knows that's pretty damn stout. So bouncing around the two, talking with the main man, Keenan, over there at Project X. There's a lot to debate yet, but I've been stuck in Tour V for years, and it's not to say I don't want to continue playing them, but I noticed there's a trend out there that people are, and specifically OEMs, are moving away from Tour V, a lot of S taper or money taper or whatever you want to call it. A lot of other shafts are making their way in, so I'd like to stay with the times a little bit and mix it up. And I'm also super into Recoil 110 Protos, so I mean those are no slouch either. There you go. I'm rocking the F5s, which are crazy stout as well. And I've got some Epic Forge that I'm messing with those in, and they have been an absolute blast. But pure fitting perspective, IO felt like it was in full control, but it also didn't feel like that original Project X, I'm going to rip my elbow off trying to hit these clubs shafts. You know what I'm talking about? So
yeah, I guess just one final comment then is, you know, obviously for, you know, we talk about distance a lot and, you know, a big believer in, you know, when you get down to iron, especially someone of your skill level, anybody who's, you know, kind of gets around at, you know, the first numbers of 7 more often than not on your golf score, you know, make sure you're looking at consistency and repeatability in there. You know, getting something that goes, you know, your 7 iron might go what, 185, 180?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Somewhere in there, you know, can you get it? How repeatable can you get that dialed in to find the right launch and spin? You know, more across the face. You know, not just on that center hit. So interesting. It's a great shaft. It's a very stout shaft. I'm guessing most listeners/viewers, that's not the right option for them. But there's certainly many who are. It's a great product. Keenan's a great guy. I talk to Don Brown fairly often, and obviously his work over there with all that. So good stuff.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Josh JB over at THP paired with Chrome Soft, the regular Chrome Soft, he said it was the tightest he's ever seen me hit a series of golf balls. That was with X Forged CB in the middle of a live stream with Finley chirping me all the way through it. So if I can if I could have consistency with Finley in my ear, I would say I've got something special on my hands.
Yeah. So I got, unfortunately, well, or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, I got to listen to about half of Dave Neville's part when you guys were hitting, and I got to hit about a half of Luke's part. But I had a series of calls literally nonstop when Finley's part. So I missed that one. But I will tell you, as a someone who's in charge of fitting, if I would have noticed that, I would have shut the fitting down, ripped a credit card out of your hand, and got those on order based on what you just told me. So,
yeah, I'm waiting for the check from those guys over there at Callaway, because I made it look pretty good in that size. But
appreciate it.
Yeah, that's about as aggressive as I'll get with that sort of commentary. It's been a lot of fun hitting them. I can't wait to hit them more. But from your end, thanks again for jumping on with me. I have had a blast chatting with you today. Once again, the second time on. And I want to make sure everyone's following you out there on social at VGolfman. And I guess we'll send the big ones as well if you want, at Callaway Golf. I don't know if anyone follows that small growing industry brand. So.
Yeah, we have a website and everything. It's kind of cool. Okay. Check it out. I think the internet's going to take off. So we even have a custom fitting page. If you haven't been on that in a while, maybe there's some interesting things, and send me a question on Twitter. We'll get a conversation going. It'd be great.
There you go. Well, thanks everyone for joining us today. Lots of good conversation around the game of golf, what we love. And if you are playing this weekend, hit them straight and have a great time. See ya.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.